We're finishing. Next week, I'm going to push the pause button on the anxiety section. We've been doing it about 6-7 weeks and have one more that I want to do next week after this one. I've hit what I would call the chief ministry that the Lord Jesus gives us and that the church throughout the age has really leaned into these texts. None of them have been foreign to you. They've all been texts that you're familiar with. They've all dealt with anxiety. They've all dealt with fear. And so my job was not to come up with something new, and it was just to say over to you again the same things the Lord has always said to his people about their fear. And the reason why is because we're constantly plagued, if you will, from within and from without, with all our mental and emotional disorientations, if you will. I'm going to use I'm going to use the definition. I've been giving you several definitions week by week, and today's definition of anxiety is going to be the one that comes from the Greek word that's in Matthew 6 and also in our text tonight, and it is the word that means basically pulled apart. So if you imagine it this way, where Jesus was oriented when he says, don't be anxious, don't you know I take care of the birds? In other words, how did your heart get pulled away from trusting in me? Think of it that way. So how did your heart get pulled away from trusting in me? And the reason that Paul uses this particular Greek word in our text tonight is because you'll see that he's going to show Christ being a sentinel over your heart to keep it from being pulled away from him. And so so we've talked about fear and anxiety. It is this distress that's in our heart that comes out of our heart. It kind of... It is something that we're anticipating that perhaps may happen, and its intensity is based on how much we value whatever it is that we're fixing to happen. So the kids are all going back to school tomorrow, and so if it's the first time your kid's gone to school, I don't know how many of you remember the first day you dropped your first kid off to school and the tears and all that kind of stuff, or the first time you dropped your kid off at daycare or whatever, and there's a little bit of anxiety there. What's the fear of? Well, that's the most valuable thing to me in the room, and maybe something will go wrong. Maybe this caretaker doesn't know how to take care of my kid properly, all this kind of stuff, right? So all those things kind of go through your mind. And so that's what fear's about. That's what anxiety about. And remember what it's trying to do in our natural mind. And the Bible talks a lot about the natural mind. And remember, it is a fallen mind, but it's not only a fallen mind. It's also just a natural mind. And so God, it's a mind that God created, and it fell. But when God created the natural mind, it was a natural mind. In other words, fear was good in some instances to keep a train from running over you when you hear it coming and things like that. And so, so the fear of God, for instance, is one of the things that's talked all the way throughout the Bible, and that's good. But this fear that we're talking about is this disordinate fear, and it's a function of the natural mind and the fallen mind together, where I'm afraid that I might lose something, and what I begin to do is kind of obsess about that possibility, and then what I begin to do is begin to evaluate the circumstances around it and think things. And we'll talk about this in just a second. And then what happens is I get more and more worked up, and fear's twin sister's control, and so I want to take control of that. So I write letters to the teacher saying, you'd better watch out, my kid. Or maybe it sounds like this if I'm not a real direct or mean person. My kid really needs a lot of help in this area, and they really need a lot of help in this area. And, you know, teachers, especially young teachers, And you know, teachers of really young children, like kindergartners and stuff like that, get all these letters from mom or all these phone calls from mothers saying the particular things that they're afraid about that the teacher needs to know and all that kind of stuff. So there's all kinds of things that we'd be afraid about. I don't know why I'm talking about teachers. Oh, they're going back to school tomorrow. And I was looking at Sally Beth. And so so that's what goes on. We talked about fear, and we did talk about fear essentially being that my heart, my natural heart, which is afraid of something, and then my fallen heart, which begins to want the world to solve the problem. In other words, if that teacher was perfect, nothing bad would happen to my kid. So I need Sally Beth to be perfect, so nothing bad would happen to my kid. Does that make sense? And so we think that the external things will solve the problem. That's what the fallen heart does. And the redeemed heart, your heart believers, you may have that as a part of your old natural mind and your natural way, but the redeemed heart, when I am afraid, I what? Trust in thee, right? The redeemed heart looks to God for help and hope. And in particular, looks to God's love. I know that I'm loved. I'm confident of his love. I have believed in the love that God have for me. I've come to believe it. I've come to believe that God loves me and that he's looking out for me and that his will for me is perfect so that I can trust in his love for me even when everything that around me looks like it's fallen apart and it's rattled and all that kind of stuff. So, and then we talked last week about this direct exercise, if you will, that God calls his people to do. We looked in the Lamentations and we also looked at Jesus' comments where he says, let not your heart be troubled. In other words, you take your heart and don't let it be troubled. Now, he, and we'll get into that today, but we talked about it last week. And how do I let not my heart be troubled? And we look back to where Jeremiah's heart was troubled, and he was in this terrible situation, and what God, what he said, but I won't let my heart be troubled. Here's why. Because I know that God is faithful, and I know that God loves me, and I know that his mercy is new every morning. So I'm not going to let my heart be troubled. Why? So because I have done what? I have, instead of looking at my circumstances, which truly are troubling, I have fixed my mind on the one thing that is not troubling. Instead of needing certainty, remember we talked about that, instead of needing certainty over here, instead of needing Sally Beth to be a good teacher so she won't hurt my kid, what happens is I look over to the God who I am very certain about, who is faithful, merciful, and loving, and I trust him to care for my child when I've entrusted that child in Sally Beth's care. And so that's how that works, right? So you following me? Okay, so today we're going to talk about another aspect, but remember what I wanted you to begin to think about last week was this command, this way of thinking, that is, you can take your anxious mind or your anxious heart, if you will. I don't see any difference. It is difficult for you to make a biblical case between a difference between the heart and the mind. And so you can take your anxious heart, and what you can do is you can let it not be troubled. In other words, you can lay hold of it and do something. And what we saw last week that we could do is we could believe on God, in particularly his faithfulness, his mercy, and his love. And so today, we're going to look at a couple other passages. Let me set up this particular passage, this first verse, to tell you this. Is that, you know, I've told you this story. I suffered for 10 years with nightmares and the anxiety that accompanied those nightmares during the day. And that is that I feared that my children and my wife were somehow going to die tragically. And so if Jackie, and this is the truth, if Jackie was in here, she will bear witness to this. I drove her nuts, especially it gets worse and worse, by the way, anxiety does. And so because what you're doing is you're reinforcing the wrong way to think about it. So the reason anxiety grows and gets bigger and bigger, the reason the anxiety attacks become closer and closer together and stay longer and longer, is because if you don't address them properly, here's what happens. You're reinforcing the wrong way to address them, and they grow. And then you reinforce it again, and it grows. And then you reinforce it again, and it grows. And the attacks come closer and closer together, and all that kind of stuff. And so so that was true with me. So that by the end of this season, I was driving my wife nuts, and it would be along these lines. So, you know, we lived in Phoenix at this time. And, of course, she was raised in San Diego, literally learned how to drive on I-5. If you've ever been in San Diego on I-5, her very first, you know, like, you know, the driver's ed guy, your very first drive, he just pull on to 8 lanes, I-5, let's do this. You know, I'm like, okay, country people, we go out in the country, we drive around, daddy lets us drive the pickup in the field, you know, we get a feel for it, but no feel for it. And so, like, Jack was like this extraordinarily fabulous driver, still is, even though she prefers to be chauffeured, but a fabulous driver, has been since she started, not afraid of nothing and all this kind of stuff. So we lived in Phoenix, same deal, 8 lanes both sides, you know, I-10 now instead of 5, and Jack would say she'd be home about 7, she'd go in to get groceries or something, and so she would end up coming home so 7 would happen, and it was before cell phones, and I'm just nervous. Begin to feel anxious. 7:03. Something's happening. This is it. This is the time she's not coming home. 7:05. 7:10. Calling hospitals. Not a joke. Truth. She rolls in at 7:11. You know, hey, help me get the groceries out of the car. I'm wiped out from anxiety. And just sit there and say, honey, you know, if you're going to be late, pull over and call me. You know, of course, make it about her, right, of course. And so you need to solve my problem, you know. Well, all I'm meant to say about all that, and not to go into the massive details about that, and then, of course, when I went to sleep, I would always dream some version of a dream of my children in a car wreck or Jackie in a car wreck and all this kind of stuff. And I got so bad, that was nightmares, and I got so bad that I would have daymares. And this was so bad that I would hit my brake, and if I hit it a little too hard and pulled up to the stop sign, I would literally begin to imagine a wreck in front of me, not me dying, my children dying, Jackie dying, all there on the road in front of me. By the time the light turned green, I'd have tears in my eyes already, grieving. And I rationalized this in my mind, thinking that the Lord was pre-grieving me because he was going to take all my kids. You know, so I've been here and done this, is all I'm saying. And I've been beset by really difficult anxiety. I went to doctors. They wanted to put me on meds. And I was at the point in my life where, like, hey, I'm a Christian. I don't do meds. Well, how about drink a glass of wine? I'm a Christian. Don't want to drink wine. You know, I was in that mode. So now I'm like, give me wine and meds. Yes. No, I'm just joking. So I was suffering instead, and I did believe something that I will pass on to you that I think is true, is that many times we try to medicate our anxiety, but if we felt the full effect of it, we would really be motivated to get it fixed way better. So I do mean that. So, but this verse God gave me, and it was my verse. And before I actually found a biblical counselor that knew how to help me, this was the verse I lived with every night and every day. And it was this verse. Let's read it together. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is what? Because he what? You see the two things? You see the two things? Yep. My mind has to be stayed on him and not on whether or not my kids are going to die in a car wreck. You follow? And I have to trust in him. And not on whether or not there's some crazy guy who would go through a stoplight and hit my kids. Because there, let me help you, there is a crazy guy who will go through a stoplight and hit your kids. So what you can't do in anxiety is try to play mind games and act like the world isn't the way it is. You follow me? Because you actually will know in your own heart that you're lying to yourself to try to trick yourself out of being anxious. Oh, everything's going to be okay. No, it's not. Unless you mean that God is sovereign over it and he works it all together for his good. If you mean that, then everything's going to be okay. But that doesn't mean that your kid might not get hit by a car. Does that make sense? Y'all tracking with me? Okay. So, God says this, this is the King James, right? Thou will keep him in perfect peace. In other words, God will keep you in perfect peace. And here's the condition of it. Whose mind is stayed on God because he trusts in God. So, this is this thing where God says, let not your heart be troubled, Bobby. Believe in God. Believe also in me. This is what Jesus is saying. Remember that? And this is when they were worried about Jesus in John 14:1. And that wasn't the one I was using last week, where he was saying, my peace I give you, not like the world gives you. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Right? So my heart was being afraid, and I was letting it be afraid. And the way I was letting it be afraid was I was letting my mind be stayed on the possibility of this tragedy. Does that make sense? Instead of letting my mind be stayed on God and his faithfulness and his love and his mercies to me and my family, which were new every morning, and they were great, and his faithfulness was great, and he causes all things to work together for good. And instead of my mind being stayed on God, my mind was stayed on the possibilities of the tragedy, and so I was an anxious mess. And I was reinforcing it by hanging out there in my mind, and therefore, guess what I was doing? It was getting worse, and the anxiety was growing and getting bigger and bigger. Okay, I hope that was practical and helpful to help you see like how it works. Every time, that's how it works. I talked a little bit about anxiety attack last week, and the anxiety attack is one of these times where, I mean, honestly, the thing to do is just to comfort the person, because when the anxiety attack comes, because we are embodied souls, and God made us that way, right? In other words, my body has a soul. Well, sometimes my body then begins working against my soul. And in an anxiety attack, because my breathing gets shallow and my heart rate goes up, my body begins telling my soul, you'd better... Okay, so the chicken and the egg thing is that something that made me anxious, which kind of makes my heart start going, but then all of a sudden my body gets into a place where my body's the thing making me more anxious. Does that make sense? And so that's what happens there, because I'm an embodied soul. So the thing to do there really honestly is to do all the things that you're supposed to do when you have an anxiety attack. Breathe deep, you know, call somebody, get connected with reality, be hugged, all those sort of things that the church can do when somebody's having an anxiety attack. What I'm talking about is breaking the thing off before it happens and not reinforcing it so that it continues to happen. So God will keep you in perfect peace. That's a what? That's right. It's a promise. So Let me say it this way then. God promises to keep you in perfect peace. So those of you who are anxious, Bobby, God promises to keep you in perfect peace. When your mind is stayed, and stayed means what it says, fixed, focused, only, right? Stayed on you, because why is my mind stayed on him? Why is my mind stayed on him? Because I trust in him, right? So that's the deal of it. So my mind stayed on you. Here's why my mind stayed on you. Because I trust in you. Right? And God says, I promise you that you get perfect peace when that happens. And it's my peace, and I'm going to give it to you. So that's the spiritual cure for anxiety. It's the spiritual cure for the disassociated heart. And what I mean by the pulled away heart is in this next passage. So let me get to this because I'm already running out of time. So you're very familiar with this passage. Everybody knows this passage. This is kind of the anxiety passage. Outside of Matthew 6, this is the big one. So remember it to orient you into the book of Philippians. Philippians is a book of joy. It's about rejoicing. It's about Paul saying that the Philippians make him glad and he rejoices with them and he's encouraging them to rejoice. And so rejoice just happens a lot of times in the book. And I could just show, how about in not only this passage, but there's several different passages where he says this. Like, I'll give you this example. He says, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. In other words, even if I have to die so that you can know God better, I'm glad and rejoice with you all. And listen to what he says. And likewise, you should be glad and also rejoice with me that I might have to die for your faith. Right, so rejoicing. Here's another one. Okay, what then? Okay, this is what he's talking about, is all these guys that were busting on him and trying to make afflict him in his imprisonment. And this is what he said. Well, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. Right? So in other words, he's saying bad things are happening and I'm going to rejoice and you should rejoice with me, and yes, I will rejoice. And then he starts this passage on anxiety, the most famous passage on anxiety in the New Testament, the most taught passage on anxiety in the New Testament, exact same way. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's how he starts it. In other words, this is last week, but me celebrating last week. God is faithful and he's merciful and he loves me, and that makes my heart glad. That makes me rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. In other words, listen to me. I'm just telling you that the world's a mess and that things are going to go on, and you're going to be anxious. Your heart's going to be. And this word in the Greek is, your heart's going to be pulled away from God by the distractions of the world around you, by the worries and cares of the world. Remember the seed parable. And what he says is this. He starts this thing with, I want you to rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. I want your heart to be fixed on the Lord. And then he tells, and let your gentleness, and by the way, gentleness in the ESV, well, so in the Greek, this word could mean, and some people translate it, let your reasonableness. In other words, let your settled ability to think. So like when it says God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of love and of what? Yeah, it's the sound mind thing. It's let your, and gentleness might mean in this thing being like a chillness, not gentleness like the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, right? This is like, let the fact that you're settled and that you're reasonable, right? Let me just tell you something about anxiety. There's nothing reasonable about it. My mind is not doing reasonable things when I'm anxious. I promise you that. And we'll get to that in a second if I have time. And then it says this. Why? Why do I rejoice in the Lord always? No, go back, go up, back up one. Why do I rejoice in the Lord always? And again, I say rejoice. Why is my mind settled? Because the Lord is where? Yes. So Russell's in the back. Russell's is our famous steak cutter. And actually, the very first time I ever met Russell in person to where we made a connection is he came out and he said, it takes you 28 minutes to do a message. You know how I know? And he's standing out there in his chef gear, you know, his little thingy-jigger. And he goes, you know how I know? I said, no. And he goes, because that's how long it takes me to cut up a beef. And it takes me one sermon of yours to cut up a beef. What has to be at hand for him to cut up a beef? His knife has to be at hand. Not laying on the table somewhere. Not over there where he has to get somebody to get it. But at hand. Where's the Lord? Amen. He's at hand. The faithful, merciful, loving God is at hand. It's right here. He was at hand with me in the car when I would hit my brake. He was at hand. He was right there. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the... I will never leave you nor forsake you. Ever. Right? I'm always at hand. I'm very present help in time of trouble. Very present. Right here. Very present. At hand. Right? The Lord's at hand. Okay, so the Lord's at hand. And so then he says the verse that you all remember. So be anxious. That is, this word in the Greek is the same word that's used in Matthew 6, and it's don't let your heart be pulled away by the distractions. But where is it being pulled away from? Pulled away from rejoicing in God, pulled away from believing that the Lord is at hand, pulled away from the faith, what I know to be true about God, the faithfulness of God, the mercies of God, and the love of God. Don't let your heart be pulled away from that. Be anxious for nothing. And you notice what he didn't say is he didn't say this. I've said this to some people and it's been helpful to them. He didn't say, try not to be anxious, did he? So, like, if I told you to try not to drop your keys, you know, so then you're, like paying attention to your keys and you're trying not to drop your keys. But if I just said, drop your keys, that's, well, okay, just drop my keys, right? So the Lord didn't say, try not to be anxious, did he? Somebody say no. What did the Lord say? Don't let your heart get pulled away from me. Instead, you come to me. I'm at hand. You come to me, the one who loves you, the one who's been faithful. And if you don't believe it, look at Calvary if you don't think I was faithful to you. The one who is merciful to you. You come to me with your anxiety, with the thing that's trying to pull your heart away from me, and you tell me about it. You tell me about it. Let your request be known made known unto God. With thanksgiving, you let your request be made known. Lord, I'm so thankful that I can come to you, that you're ever-present, that you're merciful, that you told me that I could boldly come to your throne in my time of need. Well, this is my time of need. My heart has been trying to be pulled away from you because I keep thinking that my kids are going to die and I keep thinking my wife's going to die and my heart's being pulled away from you. And Lord, I just, you know, I trust in you. I believe in you. I know that you're faithful. I know that you love me. I know that your mercies are never new. I don't have to look any farther past the cross to be sure of it, and I rejoice that you're my Savior and you're my God and my Savior and you're right here with me. And so, Lord, please help me with these thoughts that I have. Please help me with these thoughts that I have. Let your request be known unto God. And then here's another promise. Next verse. And the peace of God, here's the promise, which surpasses all your understanding. In other words, you won't get how this works. That's all that means. Will guard your heart and mind through or in, it's E-N, the Greek word, Christ Jesus. So here's what this guard word is, this sentinel word. In other words, your heart's trying to get tugged away from trusting in God, right? It's trying to be rattled. But if you'll just come to the God who your heart's trying to be pulled away from, the God of peace, the peace of God will sentinel your heart in Christ Jesus. It will hold you into a place and keep the anxiety out. The peace of God will do that. That's another promise. So, I'll keep you in perfect peace if your mind stayed on me because you trust in me. You come to me with your anxiety, whatever it is that's pulling your heart away from me, and I'll set a guard on your heart and keep it from pulling your heart away from me. That's the Greek word play. I'll do that for you. And with my peace that I have, not like the world has, which just wants to settle everything down on the outside, I'll settle you down on the inside because your mind stayed on me, because you trusted me. And then this might be two more sermons instead of one, because it's already six. Go back, get out of here. But there's a big connection you've got to see next week about the practical way to lay hold of your thoughts in the middle of anxiety, to get them fixed on God as opposed to fixed on your anxiety. And, I mean, you've probably already got it figured out, but the Lord tells us in His Word exactly how to do it, and He tells us also what our trouble is. And so come back and hear that, because one of the things that people that suffer with anxiety is, I just can't stop my mind from doing yada, 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 right? Okay, been there, done that. I would have said that, by the way, until I had somebody that says the Lord didn't say to try not to obsess about your kids dying. The Lord didn't say that. He said, don't do it. He said, let not your heart be troubled, Bobby. He said, you'll have perfect peace, but you have to take your thoughts and you have to put them on me. Not on your problems, not on the things that struggled you. And I, out of my peace, will shock you, and I'll sentinel your heart, and I'll keep the things that are pulling you away from it. I'll keep that from happening if you'll come to me with it. So that's what God says to us. We'll take that, push the pause button, maybe go a couple more weeks. Lord, we love you. We're thankful for life that's in Jesus. We're thankful that you are the God of peace, that you authored it. You yourself are our peace. That's what you said in Ephesians 2. You made peace and you preach peace. And so you're preaching it to us and to our hearts even today, and we're thankful. And we pray that you will keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because we trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.